ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch?
Well, joining us is Wenli Ma, Nightlife's resident critic of everything on the big and little screens. Wenli, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Hello.
Let's get into it. First up, we've got Sugar Season 2. Oh, I've got Toy Story 2. We better have a chat about that. Woody and Buzz, and voicemails for Isabel. All right, Sugar Season 2, this is a crime thriller?
It's a crime thriller. It's an L.A. noir, a modern-day L.A. noir.
TV series?
TV series.
Whereabouts?
On Apple. It stars Colin Farrell, who I really like now. I mean, I think when he first broke out about 20, 25 years ago, he was like this guy that just ended up in this endless stream of indistinct action thrillers and was all a bit messy. But I feel like for the past 10, maybe even 15 years, ever since In Bruges, he's been making some very interesting choices, working with interesting storytellers, playing roles that are layered. You know, like when we think of Banshees of Inisherin or The Penguin, you know, Colin Farrell is at the prime of it. That's true. I think he carries that goodwill into this character that he plays, who is a private detective in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. He specializes in missing persons. I'm going to give this semi-spoiler from season one because it's important to season two. So in season one, I felt like the show was very weird, like it was just couldn't find its footing, was holding something back, and it was, because at the end of the sixth episode out of eight, they revealed that this character, this investigator, was actually an alien. It is an absolutely bizarre twist.
That's weird.
It's really weird. But now that they've gotten that out of the way, in season two, it's so much more confident. It's so much more short-footed because yes, the alien thing is there, but you don't see him in the prosthetics again. It just becomes this sort of aspect to his character as to why this private detective is actually really optimistic and sees the best in humanity when that's, an archetype that is usually, if you think of the characters created by Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler, you know, very world-weary and pessimistic, and they see corruption and wrongdoing everywhere. So it's really unusual to have this character who's almost the opposite. You know, he eschews violence. He just wants everything to kind of hopefully work out well. And I find that incredibly charming, especially now that the show seems to have a better idea of what it is. And the investigation that is the overarching plot line for this second season is that there is an up-and-coming wrestler played by Jinha, whose younger brother has disappeared, and there is a conspiracy across Los Angeles involving authorities and a big drug thing. So it's ticking a lot of these noir boxes. And I think if you are a fan of the genre and or you're a fan of Colin Farrell, or better yet, if you're a fan of both, there's a lot to like in it, and I'm just really pleased that it's managed to turn it around.
Okay, here's a little from it. Sugar Season 2.
Hello. Have we met before?
I'm not sure.
I'm Charlotte.
Like the web.
Like the spider.
You're a long way from Beverly Hills with this gang.
It's a wild world out there.
Police!
Who do you work for exactly?
You're going to try to think your way out of this.
I'm going
to
keep doing my job.
I don't think so. It's just a matter of time.
In this world, everyone has secrets.
This goes way above the head of some sheriff's deputy.
Something as big as this has to be stopped.
We make rules that work for us.
Sugar Season 2. All right, how many episodes?
Eight
episodes. Okay. Stars?
3.5.
3.5. Okay. Now, the the big one, Toy Story 5.
Five.
Gee, we're getting it. I mean, we're ringing it, aren't we?
Yeah. It's the biggest movie in the world right now.
It is. It would be, yeah. Well, people love Toy Story, but in a way that's, you know, far beyond I like that movie. People really love Toy Story.
Love Toy Story. Yeah. I mean, I love Toy Story 1 and 3. And yeah. I was 10 when Toy Story 1 came out. And now it's
Toy Story 1 is a piece of
it is gorgeous.
Amazing film.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not even just one of the best animated films. It's one of the best films ever made.
It's just the best film, yeah.
Yeah. And Toy Story 3, I feel like, is an absolutely beautiful emotional climax of a film, and that gave people adult grown men, you know, I think the New York Times famously wrote about grown adult men crying, weeping openly in cinemas because it was, you know, a bit of an existential crisis and all of our fears and anxieties about obsolescence, you know, of ourselves. So it is hard when you have these high points of the first and the third movie, and now we're on to number five. It's been 31 years.
Why are they still ringing it?
Because it's making so much money. It's making so much money. It is an interesting thing because Pixar, I mean, Toy Story was the very, very first Pixar movie. They do try and make these new original stories, and for the past few years, they haven't been commercially successful. Like, some of them have broken even, and there are ancillary benefits in terms of like theme parks, merchandise, and all that stuff. But at the box office, they've been a bit underwhelming. But every time they make a sequel to an existing one, it goes gangbusters, which means we're just going to get more and more of them. Toy Story 5 is a fun movie, but I think in the pantheon of Toy Story films, it's inconsequential.
Oh.
It's got an interesting premise.
Is Woody in it?
Woody is in it. Buzz is in it. But Woody and Buzz, and actually most of those classic characters, like Rex the dinosaur, Mr. Potato Head, and Slinky Dog, they are at best supporting characters. You do not get enough of them. And that was a huge disappointment for me. The main character here is Jessie the cowgirl, voiced by Joan Cusack.
Oh, okay.
That was introduced in the second movie. And the premise is that Jessie and, you know, her core group now have this opponent, which is an iPad. Well, not an iPad, but, you know, a tablet toy introduced.
Oh, so it's electronic toys.
So it is tech versus old school toys.
Yeah.
That is the setup. It's obviously going to be a little bit more complex than that. And I think maybe that is where, for me, it kind of falls down, because there's this internal logic, right, in the Toy Story world where all the toys are sentient.
Yes.
So these tech toys are also sentient.
I see. Oh, the iPad lives.
The iPad lives. The iPad thinks. The iPad communicates with other internet-connected toys.
Oh, okay.
And they kind of hack each other. Well, they sort of... It almost works like hacking. It's essentially, they are essentially AI. And so I was like, oh no, I don't know about this. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't necessarily have that really, really satisfying payoff of like binaries. Like, maybe I wanted a movie where I was like, AI is bad. And they were just like, well, maybe it's okay. And, you know, you have to be honest about the fact that Disney is their corporate overlord and are heavily invested in technological things and platforms. So they're never really going to come down on it. But I think, it's just really missing that Woody Buzz, you know, being all over it for me. And fun. Didn't cry, which is a first for a Toy Story movie.
Oh, man, maybe so. Well, see, I normally do.
I normally cry in, like, every Pixar movie, even the happy ones. But this one didn't emotionally move me. And I think, I really miss Woody and Buzz.
Not enough Woody and Buzz.
But still fun. A Toy Story movie is, even a lesser Toy Story movie is still Toy Story.
Here's a bit from it.
It's good to be back.
Nothing. Someone needs a brown marker.
It's been too long, Woody.
Came here as fast as I could after Jesse called for help.
Oh, thank you.
We've got it handled. Look, Star, Deputy, me, no Star.
Oh, hey, Buzz, what is that?
What, where?
Ow.
Hey.
I'm gonna let this device know how things are run around here.
Try to stay calm, Jesse.
I'm the definition of calm.
That's not gonna work.
Talk to you, device.
Not touching, Jessica.
Oh, no. She used the J word.
Scandal.
Hi. Oh, come on.
Oh. Just getting away, Buzz.
Enjoy the garage, Stuffalo Bill.
Oh. Stuffalo Bill?
First we were playing, then the world started changing.
No. Oh, are we getting donated?
Donuts.
No, sweetie. Donated.
It will make you smile.
Yeah.
And I think we can always use more of that.
Yeah, we can.
And then you'll want to go home and rewatch the original, which is the best.
Yes, it is the best. Yes, Toy Story 1. All right, stars for 5?
3.
3 stars for Toy Story 5? Okay. They haven't mucked it up completely. Should they stop?
Probably.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
They're not going to. No, I mean, no. This one is going to make over $1 billion for sure. Yeah, so they're no, just they're not going to.
No. No. All right. Now, finally, so 3 stars for Toy Story. Voicemails for Isabelle. This is a comedy drama.
TV it's a rom-com.
TV show?
It's a movie, but it's on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Netflix movie, yep.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring this one because I think a lot of the streaming rom-coms, especially the films, are usually quite bad. Like there's a new one with J-Lo out and there was another one with Sacha Baron Cohen out recently. Mm-hmm. Both quite terrible. But this one was actually quite charming. So it stars Zoe Deutsch, who's actually the daughter of Leah Thompson. And there are times when when she's, especially in Profile, when I look at her and I go, oh my God, it's like watching Leah Thompson back in the 80s in a John Hughes movie in Some Kind of Wonderful. She is a cracker. She has such amazing screen presence. And I'm always confused as to why Zoe Deutsch is not a bigger star because I think she's full of charisma. And she was in a rom-com a few years ago with Glenn Powell called Set It Up, which is also very good if you've never seen it. In this, she plays a young chef whose best friend was her sister who dies quite early on in the movie. And as part of her grieving process, she continues to ring and leave her sister these voicemails about, her day, things that she's gone through, what she's thinking. She doesn't know that the number has been reassigned. Mm-hmm. So the phone number is actually now going to a young man who lives in Austin, and he's been listening to these voicemails and slowly falling in love with this woman in San Francisco. And he, in a big red flag kind of way, does sort of contrive a situation in which he can meet her, but he wants to tell her like, oh my God, I actually am getting these voicemails. This is how I know all these favorite things about you. They have very cute chemistry. Like, I think the movie is rushed a little bit at times and maybe a little draggy at other times. But for a streaming rom-com, this was very sweet. This movie did make me cry, actually. There were several moments where I was like, oh my God, I feel really moved by this. Mm-hmm. So Nick Robinson is the male lead, and I don't think he is as strong as Zoe Deutsch, but because she's such a star, she just sort of elevates everything around her. And this has a lot of those classic tropes. It's also taking a lot from You've Got Mail, that Meg Ryan and mm-hmm. Tom Hanks movie. It's a very Tom Hanksy kind of week. And I think like if you are into rom-coms and you've been disappointed by the more recent releases on streaming, this one sort of stands above it.
All right. We're not in Notebook territory here, are we?
No, it's not so, overwrought as that.
Okay.
Yo, Isabelle!
This random girl has been leaving voicemails on my new work cell. They're for her sister.
I love dating.
Except for the part where you feel like a hideous, unlovable troll that might match with Ted Bundy.
My boss is so unhinged, my dude.
Line up! Yes, chef!
Wait, how does she not know that her sister changed her number?
I'm gonna just see what's happening.
Hey, Iz. I'm just calling you to ask, how am I supposed to do this without you?
You're in a better place. Probably slurping face with Heath Ledger as we speak, huh?
But I miss you.
For a while there, it was rough.
Isabelle died in November. She was just the love of my life.
Her voicemail's for her dead sister.
You gotta tell her.
No. This is her way of healing. This is dumb, but I have this fantasy that someone's gonna come and sit down next to me. Like, I'm Meg Ryan. We lock eyes. Then it happens.
Sorry, is this seat taken?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, everyone's got different ways to heal.
That's right. And it's very cute. And there's actually a really fun Nick Offerman supporting role in this as well, where he plays like an unhinged chef.
Stars?
3.
3 stars for voicemails for Isabelle. 3 stars for Toy Story 5 and Sugar Season 2.
3.5.
3.5. There we go. All right. Wenli, thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.